Good evening and welcome to The Big Fight, a show that is young at 21, the oldest running debate show on Indian news television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. Before we move any further, let's quickly show you a presentation. So 1 lakh to 2 lakh cases in 11 days. We are decoding the government's fumbling response. Now, why do we call it a fumbling response? We do it with a great degree of responsibility because we've broken down the response of the government over the past few days and what action was taken, what was said initially, and then eventually what was done. Let's talk about the vaccine flip-flop. So on the vaccine front, vaccine Maitri, has that been a diplomatic coup or a disaster? On the 24th of March, the center halted the vaccine export. But by then, was it too late? Is the question that we are asking. Was it too late by then? Because by the 24th of March, India had used 52.1 million doses, but ended up exporting 64.5 million. And even then, the center took another 3 weeks to realize that there is a vaccine shortage. There has been a great degree of flip-flop on foreign vaccines also. On the 9th of April, Rahul Gandhi questioned why foreign vaccines should not be allowed. The center accused him of lobbying for foreign pharmacies. On the 7th of April, in an interview given to NDTV, Dr. Harshvardhan said, "I am assuring everyone on record there is absolutely no shortage." The SII, Serum Institute of India chief Aadhar Poonawalla, incidentally on exactly that day, a day earlier actually, told NDTV, "Vaccine doses are really stressed. We need funds." So do you see a difference? What the vaccine manufacturer is saying and what the government is saying. On the 13th of April, the center cleared foreign vaccines for use. So look at the sequence of events. You first say that there is no shortage and then you give a clearance. Let's talk about those clearances, Covaxin versus foreign vaccines. So there was a speedy clearance to Covaxin without the third phase results that has in fact been spoken about. It was peer reviewed. Third phase results were still awaited, but it was given clearance by, in all fairness, it was mentioned by the government that this is emergency use authorization and it's only in a trial stage. Clearance to Covaxin was given in 1 month, but clearance to Sputnik V took 2 months. Sample this. 7th of December 2020, Covaxin applied for the emergency use authorization. On the 3rd of January 2021, the DCGI approved Covaxin for emergency use. But on the 19th of February, Sputnik V applied for the same authorization. And it is only on the 13th of April that the DGCI approved Sputnik for emergency use. And by then, people had started questioning the government that there is a vaccine shortage. Now, let's quickly tell you the reality of the Tika Utsav also. The government claims versus the reality of Tika Utsav. The Prime Minister said that this is the second war against COVID and the aim should be to vaccinate maximum number of people during the Tika Utsav. But the reality is that the average daily doses during Tika Utsav fell to 32.24 lakh, down 11%. Government says vaccination centers grew, but the reality is that hundreds of vaccination centers across Maharashtra and Odisha remain shut over vaccine shortage. In fact, this is continuing even now, despite Tika Utsav and all the claims. And now let's come to the claim versus reality, particularly of politicians. What they're practicing versus what they're preaching on your screen right now. The center told the public, wear masks and practice social distance. But then you say, then you in fact see that in many states have ordered curbs, people are losing their livelihoods. And then juxtapose this to the reality where the Prime Minister, Home Minister, the Chief Minister of West Bengal, they're all campaigning where there are no masks, no social distancing in the rallies and roadshows. Then you've got the Uttarakhand example where a potential super spreader event was allowed and now you see the repercussions where more and more people are now testing positive. Over 1700 people have tested COVID-19 positive at the Haridwar Kumbh over the 5 days. Now let's talk about Remdesivir. On the 13th of April, the health ministry said that there is no Remdesivir shortage. Same point that the center has made. Let's go to the remdesivir graphic. No remdesivir shortage. On the 13th of April, the health ministry said, only problem is overprescription for home isolation patients, which very well may be right. But then there were reports of the shortage coming in from Gujarat, UP, MP, Maharashtra. And exactly a day later, after saying that there is no shortage, the center ramped up production of remdesivir, adding 6 more manufacturers. It also ordered 39 lakh more vials to be produced per month. UP also air-dashed officials to Gujarat to get a supply of remdesivir. So claiming one day earlier that there is no shortage and then ramping up production. Mismatch. Let's talk about oxygen very quickly. On the 6th of April, the oxygen supply shortage was reported in Nashik. The Maharashtra government banned the use of industries using oxygen. On the 7th of April, the central health minister said there is no shortage of oxygen. Several states, including MP, Gujarat, Punjab, incidentally started reporting oxygen shortage. On the 15th of April, a few days after a claim that was made that there is no shortage, the center ordered emergency supply of oxygen and cylinders. And on the 16th of April, India has ordered the import of medical oxygen. Then how come the government could say that there was no shortage? The same thing about testing. Targets have been set for states, but little help has been extended. The center has told states, ramp up testing. 70% tests should be RT-PCR. On the 13th of April, many states, including worst hit like Maharashtra, UP, Chhattisgarh, are conducting way less. In fact, center has told states, ICMR is willing to help high burden state while mobile testing vans for remote areas. But the point is that the manner in which or the magnitude in which the cases have increased, testing has not increased. It's only 22% increase while the cases have doubled since the first peak. This goes on and on as far as dismal genome sequencing is concerned and also the point on data transparency about which mutation is causing this. But you all are intelligent enough to know by now that obviously there was a fumbling response. I want to introduce our guests this evening, Dr. Geeta Vani Rayasam, Senior Principal Scientist and Head Scientist Communications at CSIR. We also have Dr. Sarman Singh, Director, AIIMS Bhopal and Senior Virologist. Professor Dilip Mavalankar, Head and Director of the Indian Institute of Public Health in Gandhinagar. And Dr. Harsh Mahajan, President of NatHealth and Founder and Chief Radiologist, Mahajan Imaging. Thank you very much. Dr. Mahajan, let's begin with you first and the all-crucial issue of testing. Now there is a new crisis. A lot of people say that their test reports say that they're negative, but they show all the symptoms of COVID-19. I want to ask you, step by step, from a solutions-driven paradigm, solutions-driven mindset, what needs to be done first as far as testing is concerned?
See, testing, as you know, Sanket, we ramped up from a few hundred tests to 1.6 million tests a day during the first wave of the pandemic. And what happened after there was a lull in the first 2 months of the year, the numbers that were needed were much lesser. And actually, the testing went down. And now with this sudden surge that has happened, actually, it is this unprecedented increase in numbers which has overwhelmed everyone. And the testing infrastructure is as much at sea as is the hospital infrastructure, because this doubling from 1 lakh to 2 lakhs in 11 days, as you showed, is unprecedented. However, having said that, in the testing space, we are still trying very hard, but there is non-uniformity of available infrastructure in different states. Delhi, for example, is doing rather well. We are able to do about 100,000 cases a day, out of which 70% are RT-PCR, the gold standard, whereas there are even large states which do lesser than that. And that's where the problem comes, that when you need to ramp up in a state which is deficient, and there is already a need in the state itself which has good infrastructure, you cannot substitute one from the other. The other aspect you touched about was negative RT-PCR reports. That is not due to anything new. We know that RT-PCR gives false negatives up to a tune of 30%. We today believe that in India, with the experience we've gained, it would be less than 10%. But this happened in the first wave, it is happening even now, and there is a narrative being spread that it is because of the mutant strains, the new strains, that something is being missed. That is not the case. These mutant strains have been picked up by positive samples, which were sent after positive RT-PCR report, and then the mutants were identified. So we are under
So
stress,
it's not
but
like
what we
there is
diagnose.
some deficiency in testing. But
There is a deficiency in testing, no doubt, because the numbers are so much. Like you said, it's a 22% increase that we've been able to manage by actually running more shifts, people working harder, working round the clock. But import of equipment and RT-PCR equipment is all imported. It takes anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. Also, personnel need to be trained. It is a highly skilled technology, and we need to ramp up that. That is easier said than done.
Professor Mavalankar, I want to come to you now, and I want to ask you on whether correct information and timely information about what is causing this surge could have helped us prepare better. For instance, even now we do not know, or we do not cannot really put our finger on the problem as to which mutation is causing this, or which combination of mutations are actually causing this.
Sanket, I'm not an expert in mutations, but mutations is one of the causes of surge. The second and third major causes are that the people are behaving in a different way than what they were behaving. There are a lot more social gatherings happening of different kinds, marriages, other functions, religious, political, people going on vacation, which they had not done for so long. Second is this whole business of distancing is forgotten. We had seen these circles outside shops when people used to stand 3 feet apart. That's all forgotten. Everybody is crowding. So all of these factors have led. But your point is right that if we had picked up the early signs of turnaround mid-February or early March, we have started rising in some states and then spreading. Then we should have taken much stricter actions to change people's behavior.
Correct.
And that would have at least alerted or reduced some of this rise.
True. Okay. Dr. Singh, you're a senior virologist. I want to ask you a question about vaccines and their efficiency against these mutations. Now we see that there is a lot of concern. Vaccine shortage is one concern. Let's leave that aside. But moving forward, suppose if one does get the jab, then also there are multiple reports of people testing positive. We've heard from the government that the vaccine is going to help you in not landing you in the hospital. But do you feel that the pace of vaccination from here on is the only thing that can save us against all forms of mutations of this virus?
Yeah, Sanket, very rightly you said that yes, the no vaccine has claimed that they prevent infection in all vaccinated cases. The best performance of the two American vaccines is about 95 to 99%. But even in those vaccinated people, about 1% they will have infection. And the two vaccines we are using in India, it is about 30% people, they are vulnerable for getting infected and obviously transmitting to others. Remaining about 70 to 80%, they will not have infection, so they are protected against the infection. But the remaining 20 to 30%, they may not have the protection against the infection, but definitely, so far, the data says that they are protected from going to the hospital, to the ICU, and mortality is definitely highly significantly low as far as the data indicates. Between the two vaccines, of course, theoretically, the Covaxin, which is a whole virus, killed virus, so it is expected that despite many mutations, the whole virus is there. and all proteins are intact there. And therefore, we expect that escape mechanism, which is expected in recombinant type of vaccines that include AstraZeneca, Moderna, and any, you name any, other than the killed virus vaccine. So you can expect that some of the mutants, particularly the South African and Brazilian, they can have escape mechanism. They can escape from the immunity, our immune system. But the whole viral vaccines like Covaxin, they will not get affected.
Okay. Dr. Rayasam, I want to come to you now. Dr. Geeta Vani Rayasam, I want to know from you, as the head science, head of science communication and principal scientist, where should the bulk of energy in the research be going at this moment? And what more should we be knowing about this virus than we already know?
That's a very important question, what you are asking. And I think the research is required on multiple areas, and this is a very new virus. It's relatively within a year, we have done tremendous progress. The scientific community, actually, we have come up with vaccines. We have come up with many, the understanding of SARS-CoV-2 has really improved a lot within a year. But still, there are many unanswered questions, like going back, like what you said, whether vaccines, how long the vaccines will last, how long are you protected from the vaccines? Do you need multiple doses? How long this neutralizing antibodies will last? These are some of the questions which still need to be answered. And even today, there was a report which says that the aerosol transmission of SARS-CoV-2, there's a lot we need to learn, and we need also effective drugs. So had we good drugs to, you know, treat this infection, we would be in a better state.
Yeah,
so
for instance, Dr. Rayasam, I mean, you look at this Lancet report now, which basically says that it's in the air. So if it is in the air, then obviously it is not being... How much will you prevent by a sanitizer? Eventually, you will breathe the virus. So we are still learning more and more.
Yeah. So the answer to it, I think, is again the mask. I think the answer is, if it is in the air, the only way you can protect is by mask. And I think that is the message which is even this aerosol transmission is telling us, that you have to wear masks and to prevent the aerosol transmission. And I think even our own work from CSIR, actually, we had shown that there is a chances of aerosol transmission. In fact, we have devices which you can check whether the virus is present in the air. You take the sample of the air and check if there is a virus presence. Then you can alert people that, okay, for example, in hospitals. And then you can do isolation. And there are also solutions which are like UV treatment in the air ducts. You know, can you kind of kill the virus by the UV treatment and then, you know, sanitize this place? These are some of the research which is going on. And I think we need more and more these solutions as we go forward.
Brilliant. I think this is it was great to hear the solution of such devices that will tell you that there is virus in the air. Going forward, that's the direction we should be headed in. Thank you very much to Dr. Rayasam, Dr. Singh, Professor Mavalankar, and Dr. Mahajan with your inputs. Thank you so much. Let's now quickly throw this open for a political discussion. PKD Nambiar is a political analyst, views lean towards the BJP. We've got Suparna Moitra, spokesperson of the TMC, Chandra Bose, senior leader of the BJP West Bengal, and we also have Priyanka Chaturvedi, MP of the Shiv Sena. Thank you very much, Ms. Chaturvedi. We'll begin with you first. You know, we've seen, and I've listed out a few, not all, because this is a whole list, a few of the places where we feel in our assessment, in our personal assessment, when we put pen to paper and facts in place, that the response has been fumbling. What is your assessment? Because I believe Maharashtra also kept saying we need more vaccines. Do you feel the center's response to this surge was a fumbling response?
Sanket, I can't hear you clearly, but I believe your question is with regards to Maharashtra and the central government's response and where Maharashtra government stands as of now. I'm assuming that is the question because I can't hear you clearly. So as far as Maharashtra is concerned, I will continue to say that Maharashtra is a state which has tested the highest amount, not rapid antigen tests, which can go wrong. Over 85% of our tests have been RT-PCR, which are, I would say, the best way to know whether a person is COVID positive or no. Our entire strategy has been that of tracing, tracking and treating. and ensuring that even if we are showing higher caseload, higher numbers, we are maintaining transparency of data. So that is part one. The part two was because the Prime Minister kept saying, jab tak dawai nahi, tab tak dhilai nahi. So we also, as soon as our vaccination campaign began, India launched the vaccination campaign, because it was a voluntary campaign, we motivated, encouraged people to go to the nearest vaccination center, whether it was health worker, whether it was frontline workers, whether it was people above 60 years of age, 45 years of age with comorbidities, 245 years of age. We have been promoting the vaccination so that we shield our population, 12 crore population, and we have led the vaccination drive in India. And we lead most of the states as far as vaccination is concerned. We never wanted it to be this state versus that, center versus state. Our chief minister has categorically said that whatever is coming from the center, support is coming, we will manage. If we do not get that the support that we are seeking, then we will try to figure out on our own, which we have been doing and cooperating with the center. But as soon as we said that, you know, there is a shortage of vaccine because the vaccination campaign is going truly beyond what we had thought it would go, and there could be a shortage, please hand over some vaccines to us. That is when the entire hell broke loose for the Bharatiya Janata Party, and the health minister went into a rampage mode, and he made it about politics, and he started sending out political statements, which I think were very unbecoming. If you are controlling the vaccine, if you are deciding how much will go abroad, how much will stay in India, then you might as well, when the state is approaching you for shortage, then you might as well address them without asking these questions.
Okay.
As far as vaccine wastage is concerned also, India has a 6.5% vaccine wastage. Maharashtra has half of that.
Sure. So you've made important points on vaccination. Priyanka, I'm going to come back to you. You've made important points on vaccination. And you said that if the center is basically in charge of the vaccination in terms of giving each state their share, then they'll have to take their share of the blame as well. Raghav Chadda, spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party, is also with us. Raghav, before I come to you, Mr. Nambiar, I want to bring you in at this moment. Mr. Nambiar, you heard what Priyanka Chaturvedi is saying. I'm pretty sure Raghav Chadda is going to say the same thing as far as vaccination is concerned. Will you or will you not admit, given the action of the government eventually, and this is a good decision which has been taken, fast-tracking applications, also fast-tracking the use of oxygen. Right now, India is also ordering import of medical oxygen. Center has ordered emergency supply of oxygen and cylinders. But on all these fronts, Mr. Nambiar, the government's first response, the center's first response was, there is no shortage, everybody is playing politics.
Even today, Ankit, even today, the health minister is saying and the prime minister is saying there is no shortage.
No, you can keep saying, but you know, when you see the reality, Mr. Nambiar, that is not the reality. Remdesivir also, you said there is no shortage, and then after that you ban exports and you are also increasing its production. For the vaccines also, the same thing has happened. For oxygen, the same thing. And then you say there is no shortage.
Sanket, in the morning, I believe it is today in the morning, in your channel, one of the topmost executive of a leading hospital in Delhi was saying their hospitals are having much more opportunity for the people to give the vaccination, but it has been underutilized by the public. So there is, see, one thing you will have to understand, any health facility, I would say that we are...
Mr. Nambiar, see, you're going to cite one example, then there will be those countless other examples where people are saying, we want to vaccinate our population, but you're not giving enough vaccines. See, the point is, you don't have to be a genius, Mr. Nambiar, to know that there is a vaccine shortage. In fact, there was one right from the very beginning, because we were manufacturing 2 million approximately and we were consuming about 4 odd million every day. There had to be a shortage. Why could this not have been seen earlier?
Well, Sanket, may I say a few words if you could allow me?
Absolutely,
I am an Indian citizen, and I also required to, I am not 45 yet, but I also would like to go for a vaccination for myself, because I move out of the, I am a businessman, I have to move out, and every person today requires vaccination. That is the only solution, and there is no doubt. And there is no doubt about it. And I will be an idiot to say that vaccination is not required. But then you will have to understand, any health or a pandemic situation is a dynamic situation. A few days before, this was not the case in Delhi. We were almost going to be a ground zero level. Today, we are in a different situation.
So I call this also a failure of planning. For you to not know that there will be a second wave. It's very clear. Priyanka Chaturvedi wants to come back.
Sanket.
Yes.
Sanket, this is
absolutely wrong. I absolutely agree with you, Sanket. We are the health ministry forgot that there could be a second wave coming and that's how pandemics work. That is how pandemics work. Our chief minister...
One by one. Mr. Nambiar, one moment. I'll come back to you, Ms. Chaturvedi.
All I'm saying is, and this is something I have also repeated often, that it was for the health ministry to decide that, to let people know, create awareness that in a pandemic, the second wave is usually worse than the first. The chief minister, our chief minister, continued to prepare us and tell us that don't let go of all the COVID appropriate norms that you are following. Unfortunately, there was a fatigue factor that set in. But here is the health ministry, which does not tell the ECI that there could be a second wave coming. We prepare these election rallies, etc.
The wave continue to be there in Maharashtra.
You keep quiet.
So I think...
No, Mr. Nambiar, one moment.
No, Sanket, Maharashtra should be the state where should never be preaching anybody about COVID management. Maharashtra is the only when it comes to COVID management.
You come as a political analyst and you are speaking like a BJP spokesperson. Might as well say you're a BJP person. And that you are
No, in all fairness, he supports the BJP.
You will be able to understand.
So, come as a political analyst and that's what I can read against him.
Maharashtra is the failed.
Okay, my point, one moment. I have to take this discussion forward. Ms. Chaturvedi as well as Mr. Nambiar, I'm going to come back to you in just a moment.
Sanket, just one minute. Sure. You have to give me 30 seconds. I did not come here to make this a political debate. I think every leader out here, every politician out here is going to make this about India and not about my state versus his state, BJP versus non-BJP. It is a shame that people like Nambiar come on channels and make this political. We are talking about challenges, loopholes, problems that exist. And if you did not have the vaccine, you should not be lying. If you cannot control the second wave, you cannot be having these election rallies.
One moment.
Okay,
I've got to move on at this moment. One moment. The point that we are trying to make here, Ms. Chaturvedi, Mr. Nambiar, I have to move forward now. Raghav Chadda. See, the point is, this analysis that has been done by NDTV Sukirti Dwivedi clearly lists out areas where the government knew that it requires support, the government knew it needs to act, and it did not. Because eventually, it did pretty much the same thing. It started by saying that there is no vaccine shortage, it ordered for more production, eventually. It started by saying that there is no shortage of oxygen, now you're ordering for more oxygen. The same thing with Remdesivir. The same thing with a number of things, beds. Mr. Raghav Chadda, do you feel that it would have served well had not just the central government but all state governments also collectively thought to themselves that the virus has not gone anywhere. The second wave will come. We need to prepare.
So a few quick points, Sanket. First of all, as all of us know that the Disaster Management Act is in force. And all COVID-19 related decisions, policy decisions, whether it's import, manufacturing of Remdesivir, whether it's import of hydrochloroquine, whether it's administration of inoculation of vaccines, all these decisions are taken by the union government and conveyed to each state for them to implement. The best the health ministers of every state can do and have done is write letters, make phone calls, seek personal audience with the honorable ministers of the union government. Now, of course, the union government should have been better prepared. We have a shortage. And Aam Aadmi Party, at the risk of patting my own back, I must say this, that Aam Aadmi Party was the first political party which highlighted the issue of vaccine shortage and how exports have taken place. Now, you have a situation where a country like the United States of America, Sanket, which has a population of 300 million, has already sourced 600 million vaccine doses, has locked up in its stock rooms, in its godowns, and has made logistical arrangements to administer that to each and every citizen in the next few weeks of the United States of America. Not just this, they have procured 600 million from Pfizer and Moderna. They have placed orders to procure 200 more doses of vaccines by entering into future contracts with Johnson & Johnson. So you have a model set by the United States, which is which has procured enough number of vaccines, but and not just that.
That may not United be the best States model to emulate also, Raghav.
May I just finish? No, I'm vaccine coming to holding. That. I'll come to what the best model. Look, every government, Sanket, needs to first cater to its own citizens. It's not the people of Nigeria, Uganda and Kenya that voted for Prime Minister Modi. It's the people of India. He must cater to them first. And I think Joe Biden, what he's doing for his countrymen is right from their standpoint.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, United States of America, on the other hand, has put restrictions on not just export of vaccines, but even on the export of raw material used to manufacture vaccines. And here we are in India, forget raw material. We are manufacturing world-class vaccines and exporting it across the country. 64.5 million vaccines have been exported to 84 countries. Next few weeks, Government of India will export 45 million vaccines to Pakistan. This is the reality. Now, if 6.5 crore vaccines that have been exported were not exported...
For the moment, the government says that they've banned exports.
Please understand, Sanket, if 6.5 crore vaccines that were exported were not exported and administered to Delhiites, the entire population of Delhi would have been easily, comfortably vaccinated,
why just
even
Delhi?
Accounting
why
for vaccine
Delhi?
Shortage.
All over the country.
And situation. Of course, I'm just giving you a an example.
Sure,
by way of an
sure.
Example,
okay, maybe my two of our panelists have not
now,
spoken. Yeah, I'm going to come back to you. Raghav, give me a moment. Two panelists have not spoken. I'll come back to you. Shuparna Moitra as well as Chandra Bose. I want to come to you and bring in the West Bengal problem. Right? On one part, you've got the Prime Minister and all senior leaders. Mr. Bose, will begin with you. You've got senior leaders of the BJP, Prime Minister, Home Minister. Everybody talks about social distancing, about wearing masks, about being careful. And then you see pictures from West Bengal. It seems as if West Bengal is not on this planet. It is on some planet which is COVID-free. Right? No masks, no social distancing. And one really wonders where the election commission is. Mr. Bose, do you feel that politicians from both the TMC as well as the BJP have failed to practice what they preach? And this is also a failing.
Sanket, if there is a political will, there is always a way. First of all, the NDA government under the leadership of Narendra Modi ji is committed to fight COVID and defeat COVID. But this is not
How?
A political issue. This is a health issue. Let me finish. This is a health issue. And I would expect, and the people of India would expect, that all political parties must be on the same page, collectively fight this COVID virus. Now, coming to the West Bengal scenario, it is in an election mode. You see, unfortunately, the priority in Bengal and in the other states where election is being held, we have given less priority to COVID. I think we must all admit this. And the Election Commission, although has put forward the COVID norms which are to be practiced.
But Mr. Bose, I hope you realize you're also commenting on your own party.
It has not been adjusted.
For instance, I don't see Mr. Amit Shah wearing a mask.
Well, Mr. Amit Shah will answer why he's not wearing a mask. But I would say that I think we have failed as a nation, we have failed as a political party to adhere to the election, the COVID.
I think that's a big admission.
Which have been put forward.
That's a huge admission by Mr. Chandra Bose. And I think that's honest of you to say that collectively we have failed as the political fraternity, and also his commentary that we have failed as a political party. I guess this is an honest admission and things must begin from there. Mr. Moitra,
yes,
would you...
But then we need to take corrective measures now. It is not too late. We can take corrective measures if we are not...
Well, let's hope your party's leaders are listening.
How
similarly,
can we allow
Mr. Moitra,
a gathering
Mr. Moitra, will your leadership also listen? I've attended many TMC rallies in Bengal. I'm telling you, social distancing is a myth. Mask seems to be a scarce commodity.
Mr. Upadhyay, good evening. Now, this discussion is not about politics. This discussion is about the lives of people. So, health first, politics second. And I would only say that our party chief and the chief minister of Bengal had written a letter to the election commission, keeping in mind...
Mr. Mohita, letter and all is fine. I'm talking about what I see. You can keep writing as many letters as you want.
No, so we had said that the... First of all, we had commented that that we do not we don't need to go through the 8-phase election, but that was misinterpreted. We have again written to the election commission and urged the election commission that the remaining rounds of the election could be clubbed into one. Number two, we have all failed, and I agree completely with Mr. Bose that we have all failed. But having said that, now the Bharatiya Janata Party talks about that they are a party with a difference. Now I see the Prime Minister convening video conferences as to how to tackle the COVID menace. But the approach, the preparedness, and the strategy of the government in Delhi leaves absolutely no doubts in mind that they are hypocritical in what they preach and what they approach.
Okay, Ms. Chaturvedi, let me quickly come back to you, then Mr. Nambiar and then Raghav Chadha can complete his point. Ms. Chaturvedi, see, the point is this unfortunate center versus state fight in the middle of the worst crisis that we are facing, far worse than the first time. This second wave is far worse. That has to be admission number one. Do you feel that we are not being honest politically to our constituency?
Just saying a couple of things here, and you know, political analysts, fly by night political analysts who come and start making it political, I'm not going to get into that. All I'm saying is that yes, we can work in terms of cooperative federalism as well. Let's understand one thing. When our chief minister suggested to the prime minister in a CMPM meeting that you should increase the age, I mean, you should increase the scope of vaccination from anyone 45 with comorbidities, was the first one, to anyone above 45 years of age. That was taken in a positive spirit by the Prime Minister of India. Secondly, when our state proposed that Hafkin Institute can manufacture Covaxin vaccine so that we step up the production of the vaccine, the Prime Minister, of course, it waited for 2-3 weeks, but the Prime Minister himself intervened and he's ensured that the vaccination drive should continue and we ramp up our vaccine production. And it will happen very much in Maharashtra, very much in Mumbai, in our city. So this is cooperative federalism. What you saw from the health minister was, you know, was a very unfortunate attack on the state, like what Mr. Nambiar is sitting and doing. Maybe he's coming from the health ministry office for all I know as a political analyst, disguised as a political analyst. But what he did was incorrect, where he said there is no vaccine shortage, but all states then, letter opened up a can of worms where we got to know all states stood up in arms saying that they don't have vaccines and the vaccines need to be provided. And that is how we realized that we have exported more vaccines, we do not have enough vaccine, and we haven't been able to ramp up our production.
Your response.
So that is why we've gone into answering those questions. The Prime Minister himself has had to intervene.
Mr. Nambiar,
that's the difference.
Mr. Nambiar, why can you not admit? See, the first step to solving a problem is admit. Yes, we miscalculated. To say that no, there was no shortage. I mean, when you see the action today, it is very clear that yes, there was a shortage. And to say, who knew that the wave will be so big? Of course, that's the job of the government to know. That's why you're the government, which means that you haven't planned.
The first thing first, I think I would like to, at least Priyanka ji has admitted that the government at the center and the corporate federalism, which is working very well, that is the reason if a chief minister is suggesting something, the center is listening and they are acting on it. I think... In a situation like, in a health situation like this, there is nothing called as center government or a state government, as the entire government machinery should work as a team and work towards the final solution, that is vaccinating every Indian.
But no, Mr. Nambiar, my question was very different.
Sanket, today what happened to you? Yaar? You are giving enough time to everybody. You want, Raghav Chadha was speaking for 7 minutes. And if you call me,
two BJP spokespersons are sitting on a panel, one disguised as a political analyst. That's why perhaps you're not getting enough time.
I'm a common citizen of
one moment. Mr. Nambiar, you're not answering my question. That's why I have to interrupt and interject politely. My only point is, why don't you admit today? There is enough evidence now that we were short. And to say that who knew about the second wave is not a plausible defense.
My dear friend, a country of 1.3 billion people vaccinating, the world's largest vaccination, cannot be a foolproof one in 3 months. But in the 3 months' time, whatever as a country we have achieved is quite substantial. Why don't we accept it? But at the end of the day, we are all Indian citizens. We all need to be proud of what we are doing. We have two vaccines which are produced in India. I wanted to be proud of that fact. I want all of us to be vaccinated.
Yes.
Even my two kids, my wife, the entire my office, to everyone who is sitting here. But then there is something called as a dynamic situation. An MLA like Raghav Chadha would be knowing that it is not so at the ground to implement.
Okay. Let's listen in.
You named
Raghav Chadha. Let me ask him. Raghav Chadha, Mr. Nambiar is saying it was practically not possible.
Sanket, as somebody who's on the field, as somebody who just returned from visiting the LNJP hospital, which is the largest COVID facility in Delhi, I spent hours there doing the rounds. As somebody who's on the ground, as somebody who's elected rep, as somebody who's a part of the Youth Brigade of India, I say this, and I say this in no uncertain terms, that we, number one, require vaccine universalization. These arbitrary eligibility criteria need to be absolutely removed. There should not be any restriction vis-a-vis one's age, vis-a-vis one's medical history, in order to be eligible to be administered the vaccine. Let's open it up for all. Centers across, even those centers that have the vaccine in the right numbers, are working at a capacity of about 25 to 30%. There is vaccine hesitancy. There is vaccine shortage. Both the hesitancy and shortage will be taken care of once you universalize it, remove the barriers. Even we, the young India, wants to get vaccinated. Fundamental right.
But Raghav, see, there are not enough vaccines.
It is a right that everyone has. It is not just the reserve of the old and the ailing.
Mr. Chadha, the condition is very clear. We are not producing enough. So let's be practical. It cannot be opened up for all.
Just let me finish, please. If we are not producing enough, if we do not have the numbers, if we are not in a position to inoculate 135 crore Indians, then why on God's green earth are we exporting these vaccines? Why on God's green earth have we exported 64.5 million vaccines to 84 countries? What is more important? Global goodwill for the Prime Minister or the people of India?
Okay, quick right to reply to Mr. Nambiar and Priyanka Chaturvedi.
To indulge in vaccine diplomacy or save the health of Indians? This
okay.
is one
quick right to reply, Mr. Nambiar, and then Ms. Chaturvedi to end this.
I think, Raghav, you made a mistake today. One of the biggest mistakes today you made is that saying that a country, a responsible country, which holds almost 15% of the population, which is considered to be the vaccine capital of the world, is helping the countries which do not have any kind of a vaccination facility. Then I think you are, as a human being, you are not a part of a global citizen.
Help Indians on humanitary ground. Go to hospitals, people are dying. People dying in Maharashtra and Delhi are saying, who is more important than the Prime Minister?
America
people
is
of
not
Nigeria or people of Delhi or Maharashtra?
And the same you are saying that why do you want to get
people of
to Nigeria?
People don't
we have a commitment to the world? Don't we have a commitment
Kerala
to the world?
People of Mauritius or people of Maharashtra?
The state people like, of Dominican or people of Delhi? Like Amadi Party government is failing one by one.
It's an obnoxious argument to make. It's the people of India who vote for you. It's the people of India who voted for the Prime Minister. It is his responsibility to
vaccinate. One moment. Otherwise, we'll keep going on and on. Final word to Ms. Chaturvedi. Ms. Chaturvedi, the point is, there was nothing wrong with vaccine Maitri, right? I'm saying that nothing wrong, but not at the cost of hurting your own self, right? There has to be a balance which had to be struck. Do you feel that we miscalculated? Nothing wrong with vaccine Maitri.
No, there is nothing wrong with vaccine Maitri, and some of it was the contractual obligations that came because AstraZeneca, the Oxford University vaccination research was happening and SII was a part of it. So some of it was a contractual obligation, which we need to understand. However, taking that aside, we must understand that the health ministry erred greatly by not A, realizing there was a wave coming, B, also realizing the need to shield our own people by providing them with vaccine and motivating them to go to vaccination centers to get vaccinated and removing vaccine hesitancy. And the third part, most important part, if the health ministry was aware that there is going to be, we are going to run short of vaccine with a second wave coming and second wave right in front of us, then the health ministry should have allowed more vaccine emergency usage of approvals of vaccine. That has happened now after we are well within the second wave.
Correct.
And we have people dying across the length and breadth of this country. So these are three important points which the health ministry did not adhere to. Any advice given to the health ministry is responded with total contempt. And yes, I stand again in my letter also mentioned anyone above 18 should be able to get a vaccine.
Absolutely.
Simply because we are a young country with young working population.
You cannot,
and we cannot afford to keep them out.
At this moment, we cannot afford as a country, Mr. Nambiar, as a country, we cannot afford to have political contempt for one another. Nobody can. You cannot afford. All the actions that the government has taken right now were in some way or the other suggested to the government, relegated to the dustbin, and then taken out of the dustbin and accepted. And I guess this has to be accepted by the government, that they fumbled in their response. Admit it, and you will have support of everyone. Thank you very much. We're stopping for a short break. Be right back. So has the central government fumbled in its response as far as COVID-19 is concerned, especially in the second wave? To talk us through this and what he thinks is appropriate or not appropriate this time around is Congress MP Shashi Tharoor. Thank you very much, Mr. Tharoor, for joining us. I want to start by asking you one by one. So we've listed out about six or seven of these key points where we feel in our assessment that the central government kept changing its position from saying that there is no shortage to admitting that there is shortage by way of importing or by way of certain decisions and banning exports. First, let's talk about vaccines, Dr. Tharoor. Do you feel that there was a central government mismanagement on the issue of vaccines?
Yes, and I think it's actually a cumulative series of issues. There is undoubtedly the fact that we had a tremendous advantage. We are a country that produces 60% of the world's regular vaccine supply, and Serum Institute had gambled their own funds on actually starting to manufacture the Covishield, the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, even before full regulatory approvals had come, so that they could actually be ready and poised to unleash it as soon as the approvals came. But when the approvals came, which was by the end of last year, by the end of November last year, instead of rolling out the vaccines immediately, starting, let's say, in December, the government showed a somewhat lackadaisical attitude. They announced 16th of January for a start. Several weeks later, they had a very limited category of people, basically healthcare workers and so-called frontline warriors who were eligible. The general public were not given. Then they started gradually making it available to people who are much older. And by the time this process was rolling out, other countries which didn't have the early advantage of having a whole stockpile of vaccines in their country, they were already moving much faster ahead. The Americans were doing 3 million vaccines a day, and we in our country didn't even achieve that in the first 3 months of the year. So we were looking at a problem where, number one, we were not taking advantage of our opportunity to start vaccinations sooner. Secondly, the government didn't actually throw any money at the problem. They could have actually asked our existing Indian vaccine manufacturing companies to ramp up production levels, Serum Institute, Bharat Biotech, and so on. They didn't do that.
Though there are lots of points, oxygen flip-flop, remdesivir flip-flop, genome sequencing flip-flop, but then the most important, which I want to ask you, is lack of data transparency. I mean, even now, we do not know exact numbers as to what is causing this surge. Is it a double mutation? Is it, the UK strain, the South African strain, an Indian strain, or a mix of all? Do you think that lack of transparency in data and sharing it with the states is also a problem? We could have been better prepared.
Almost definitely, we've had some real issues about data, and not even these complicated issues of which kind of strain, mutation, variant, etc. Because, in fact, probably India is host to all of the ones that you have mentioned. We've seen UK strain coming into Punjab from the UK. We've seen the some isolated cases of the South African strain and the Brazilian strain. Then we've seen Maharashtra's double mutation, which is really... I have friends who had come from abroad, having taken two shots of the Pfizer vaccine, who have caught COVID in India because of the extraordinarily special nature of our own indigenous strain. So we have a problem. I mean, there's no question about that. But let me just add two more thoughts which go beyond even the data issue. One is, for example, the lack of financial input from the government. So I mentioned it briefly at the beginning about vaccines, but the honest truth is, We have PM CARES. They should be emptying the coffers to ensure that not only do we have money coming in for more vaccine manufacturing and distribution, but we also have more resources coming into hospitals, particularly government hospitals. And this is so indispensable at a time when we are just not throwing enough money at the problem. The other thing is indeed, as you hinted, empower the states much more. Give them more data, give them more information, but also give them more support. Each state is not equal to each other state. Some are more affected and some are less well prepared. Their infrastructure is weaker. We need to give them much more support than this government has been doing.
Do you think MP Lads funds should be reinstalled so that each MP can...
I've been a strong advocate of that on the grounds of decentralization. I know local needs better than some bureaucrat in Delhi would know. And while they may have a better idea of the big picture, a small amount, it's only 5 crores a year per MP, that is being spent on the basis of local priorities. You could have had a rule saying, ever since the COVID pandemic began, MP funds may only be spent on COVID-related expenditure. Fine. But let us, at least in consultation with the local people, the local doctors and the local realities, allocate some of that money. I was able to do so with my last available funds before the ban, but for 2 years we have no money coming in, and I think that's a great pity. In the meantime, give some more money from your funds, from PM CARES, from anything else, to the state governments. Enable them to have the flexibility to address the terrible tragedies many of them are suffering. When I hear the stories coming out of UP and Maharashtra, my heart bleeds. There are human tragedies unfolding every day before our eyes.
Correct.
And we cannot afford the government being complacent about any of this. It is not just a management problem, not just a planning problem. It is a human tragedy and must be faced and addressed as such.
Okay. Dr. Tharoor, appreciate you joining us and sharing your views.
Thank you, sir.